Well, good morning, everyone. I hope you've had a great time of worship already with us at Central Baptist Church. My name's Clayton, and I'm the senior pastor here. And I just want to let you know that today marks the eighth week of us being kind of in this quarantine time as a church and not meeting physically together. And it marks 7 weeks since I've been your senior pastor. And it's been crazy. It's been different. But I'll say this. I love being your senior pastor. And I love you and our church. And I can't wait till we can be back together soon. But you know, right now we're staying at home and we're following the orders and we're doing everything we can to try to keep everybody safe. And I want to give you a little bit of an update about where the church is. And I know that it's May 3rd and we're not meeting here at church, but we're looking at when that's going to happen, when we're going to be able to reopen the church and get back together. And I tell you, there may be no one in the church more excited and anxious to do that than your staff. We are so pumped and ready to be back together, but we want you to know that that's not happening yet. And in fact, we're looking and planning and trying to figure out the best way for us to come back together. Even though some of the orders have been lifted, some of the recommendations have been lifted, and the governor has said that, you know, churches can come back together, but we're trying to be very cautious. We're trying to have wisdom and discernment in the middle of this, and we've been talking with medical experts. We've been talking with city officials, other churches in the area, and as a staff, we've been meeting and praying together and trying to come up with the best solution for our church where people can be safe and we can come back together the right way. And so just be looking online. We're going to be putting out this week a whole lot of information for you to let you know about what's coming up in the next few weeks. But I can say this, for the time being, we're going to still be meeting online. So, you know, make sure you're being a part of your Zoom Sunday school class. Make sure you're coming and worshiping with us just like you're doing today. But I do know this. I know that there is going to be an end to all this. And I believe that God has a great ending for us as we, in the middle of all this, when we come back together and we get to celebrate that. And in fact, I love endings. I love great endings. I love movies and books that have great endings. And last week, my family and I, We were watching some movies. We went on like the Disney app, and we were checking that, and we found Avengers Endgame, and it's the last Avengers movie, and there's tons of other movies, and I don't know a lot about all those, and so there's all these, this movie's 3 hours long, this last one, and there's all these backstories. I don't know everything about it, but I loved the ending of this movie. So spoiler alert, the good guys win, okay? The good guys win at the very end. Yeah, there's some sadness, and there's some hurt and some pain, but the good guys win in the end, and I love the way that those movies are. When if you're at the movie theater watching it, it's one of those that you walk out and you're just pumped up and you're giving people high five because we all love a great ending. Well, today we're going to be at the end of James, and we're going to finish up our 3 week study in the book of James, and I think he has a great ending for us. And so we've been walking through the last couple weeks the book of James. We talked about how James calls us to choose joy in the middle of life's difficulties, in the middle of trial and hardship. We're supposed to choose joy because we know that God has a purpose for us in the middle of that joy, and he is trying to prepare for us and provide for us, and he's strengthening us and growing us, and so we're supposed to choose joy in the middle of that, but we're also supposed to seek after wisdom. We looked at that last week, and we looked at how James taught us to seek after wisdom. And the best way that we can come up with to seek wisdom is to look at the life of Jesus and to be like Jesus, because he is the author of wisdom. So today, we're going to be in James chapter 5 at the very end. So you have your Bible, man, turn with us. James chapter 5, we're going to start in verse 13. And I'm just going to jump out there and say it. Here's the first point. James encourages us to pray and praise. So we're supposed to, in the middle of whatever's going on in our lives, we're supposed to pray to God and we're supposed to praise him. So let's look at it. James chapter 5, verse 13. And it's going to be on the screen right here next to me. It says this: are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. And are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with the oil, in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if any of you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. If we look at this and we see a couple things that James teaches us about prayer. And so that's what we're going to talk a little bit about today. And the first thing that we see is that James teaches us that we're supposed to pray through pain. That we're supposed to pray through pain. Now, this is not talking about a passive waiting. I think a lot of us think that when we're in the middle of hardships and pain, we're supposed to wait on the Lord and just suffer and just kind of sit in our hands and just wait it all out. But that's not what James is teaching us around here. In fact, if you go back in the previous chapter, chapter 4, James teaches us that we're supposed to be patient in the middle of suffering. And that's pretty difficult. When you're in the middle of suffering, you want to fix that. I don't know about you. I'm a fixer. I want to fix things. And when we're in the middle of suffering and pain, like it's just natural for us to want to fix that. And James says we're supposed to be patient in the middle of that. Well, what in the world is that supposed to look like? Well, he's actually teaching us around here that this patience is not a passive thing, but it's actually an active waiting on the Lord. It's supposed to actually be doing something. And what are we supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be praying. We're supposed to be praying when we're hurting. That's what verse 13 says, when you're hurting. And this is, some versions say like a suffering, when we're suffering hardships. And those can be several different things. Maybe it is physically hurting. You know what? Maybe it's spiritually hurting. Maybe it's emotionally hurting or relationally hurting. There's times in our lives when we go through difficulty and pain. And it also says this later on in this little passage, and it asks, are any of you sick? Are you sick? Is there something going on in your life that is not right? Are you unhealthy? And I think, you know, we can go through this passage and really kind of parse it and look at it and try to figure out what in the world is he talking about? Is he talking about physical sickness? And some people might look at it and go, well, this whole anointing with oil thing, and that looks kind of weird. And I'm not sure what that really means. And are we supposed to anoint ourselves with oil to make us healthy or physically well? But if you actually look at the context of what James is speaking about through the entire book of James, and if you look at the word sick here and where it's used other places in the New Testament, we actually see, and I believe, that he's talking about a spiritual sickness. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt, you know, spiritually sick? I mean, there's times in my life where I've felt spiritually sick. Like, no matter what you do, no matter how much worship you're involved in, how many times you come to church, you just feel spiritually sick. And no matter how many times you read your Bible, it seems like you're just drained spiritually. It doesn't matter what you do, whether how many times you try to go and help people and do the right thing in life, you feel just, you know, spiritually sick. I think the Bible's talking here about times when we are spiritually unhealthy. One of my good friends, I talked to him about a week, and he called me the other day, and I was like, man, how are you doing? And he's like, man, I'm doing great. I'm doing a lot better than I was. And I said, well, what's going on? And he said, I got coronavirus about 3 weeks ago. I was like, man, you're kidding me. No, you know you didn't. He goes, yeah, I really did. I came home from work and started feeling bad. And so I went to the emergency room and they did the test. And they called me back later and said, man, you've got coronavirus. And they said, just stay at home and just kind of ride it out. And he's a super healthy guy, active, and he's fit. And he said, man, it wiped me out. So for 2 weeks, he was sick, had a high fever. He was in bed and, man, just felt absolutely terrible for 2 straight weeks. And he said, you know, Clayton, what the worst thing was is when he began to actually feel better, he would try to get up and out and try to do things. And his fever had finally broke, but he just had no energy. And he said it was like, you know, if you get your phone at night and you're about to go to bed and you look at it and you got 1% battery left on your phone. So what do? You go and you plug it in, you begin to charge your phone. And it's like if you charge your phone overnight and you wake up in the morning and you go and grab it, instead of being at 100%, it's only at 10%. That's a terrible feeling if you charge your phone for that long and it's only at 10%. And that's what he felt like. He said, man, I just felt terrible. Like it didn't matter how much I slept or anything. I was low battery all the time. And I think sometimes that's maybe how we are spiritually. We just feel sick. We just feel unhealthy. Like we don't feel good at all. It doesn't matter what we do. Man, no matter how much we worship or read the Bible or try to be around other people and do what is right, we just don't feel right, you know? And that's what James, I think, is saying. He's saying sometimes we're going to be spiritually sick. So what are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do? And the Bible says that we're supposed to pray. Philippians 4, 6 through 7 says, don't worry about anything. But instead, you know what you're supposed to do? Instead of worrying, you're supposed to pray about everything. Tell God what you need. And thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace and will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. The Bible says we're supposed to pray when we're struggling, we're hurting, when we're going through difficult times. We are supposed to be people of prayer. And so here's what I wanted to do throughout this sermon today. We're going to spend a little bit of time discussing something. So audience participation time. So if you're in the kitchen getting coffee, or you're walking around, or you're feeding the dog, whatever you're doing, man, come on back to your couch. And I want you to actively participate in this next time. So I'm going to ask you, so there's going to be something on the screen. There's going to be a timer on there. And I'm going to ask you, if you're in a group with your family, man, spend some time and discussing the topic on the screen. And or if you're by yourself, man, get your journal out and start journaling those things, write those things out and pray to God. And then maybe throughout the week, you can spend some time with people on the phone and talking to them about what you thought about during these discussion times. So here's what I want us to do. I want you to share a time when you turn to God in the middle of pain. And how did he answer your prayer? So spend the next few moments. There'll be a timer on there and something on the screen that'll kind of direct you through this time. So why don't y'all do that right now? All right, everybody. I hope you guys had a good time discussing what it looks like, you know, in your life when you've turned to God in the middle of pain. Well, I wanted to continue in verse 13 and continue on what it says. It says this: are you any of you suffering hardships? You should pray, just like we were talked about. But then it goes on and says this: are any of you happy? You should sing praises. So the second thing that James teaches us here is that we're supposed to praise in the peace. We're supposed to praise God in the middle of peace. And our prayers should be filled with praise to God because of who he is and what he has done in our lives, for his goodness and his grace. I mean, our lives should be lives filled with praising God for what he has done for us. I love the New Testament and the stories of the New Testament, especially the things that Jesus did, because he teaches us so much about life. And even the people that he interacts with, they teach us about life as well. In John chapter 9, Jesus is during the Sabbath, and he healed a lot of people during the Sabbath, which was pretty interesting. But on the one Sabbath, he walks by and he sees this man on the ground, born blind. He's a grown man, but he's been blind his entire life. And Jesus goes up to him, and he spits on the ground and creates like a little mud pie, like a little kid playing in the mud. He creates a mud pie, which is really interesting. And he goes and begins to put that mud on this man's eyes. And he tells the man, I want you to go over to that pool over there. Just walk over there, get someone to help you go over there. And I want you to jump in that pool and wash off your eyes and see what happens. And the Bible says the man goes in and he does just what Jesus commanded him to do. And when he comes up out of the water, he's completely healed of his blindness and he's able to see. And later on in the story, this man goes back to Jesus and Jesus asks him some questions about, do you believe in the Son of Man? And he says, yes. I mean, who is he? And Jesus says, it's me, the one who healed you. I am the Son of Man. And he goes on and says, you know what? I can heal you more than just physically. I can heal you spiritually if you believe in me. And this man says, I believe in you, Jesus. And right then that man was spiritually healed by Jesus. And you know what he did? Instead of going and maybe running and showing everybody that he can see and going and reading a book and doing things that maybe he's never been able to do in his entire life, instead of going and doing those things that would be very focused just on himself, instead, you know what he did? The Bible says that he fell down on his face and he worshiped Jesus. He worshiped Jesus when there was an incredible blessing in his life. And I think that's something that we need to do as well. When God blesses us, the Bible says, if you are happy, if things are going great in your life, what are you supposed to do? The Bible says we are supposed to praise God. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to spend a few more moments with your group or alone, if you're by yourself, and I want you to discuss this next topic. Share a time when you stopped to praise God when your life was going great, and why did your prayers center around praising God? So do that right now. All right, guys, hope you were able to spend some time and share about some amazing things that God has done in your life and how you're able to praise him in the middle of that. Well, let's continue in verse 16. Here's what it says. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. And so James is talking like specifically to individuals and saying, hey, are you going through difficult times? You going through hardships and trials? Are you sick spiritually? Are you actually happy? Are things going well in your life? And then he turns and says, hey, all you guys as a group, I got something for you. So maybe he's like talking to us as a church. He says, I've got something for all of you. I don't know where everybody went to college, if you went to college, or what is your favorite sports team, but most of y'all know that I'm a Texas A&M Aggie, and I graduated from A&M, and there's some things that Aggies are known for. One of them is if you go on campus, and the campus is just giant, it's huge, and there's about 69,000 students that go to school there right now. It's amazing. It's incredible how many people are there. But as you walk throughout campus, you're walking down the sidewalk or the street, everybody says howdy to you. So you walk past someone, instead of saying, hey, how are you? What's up? What's going on? They say howdy. And so that's kind of the thing. And so if you go on campus, everybody's saying howdy to each other. That's something that A&M people are known for. But also, A&M is known for the 12th man. If you've ever been to an A&M football game, it is unlike anything you've ever experienced before. So that the stadium holds over 100,000 people. And in one section, one side, with about 40 to 50,000 people is the student section. And the student in the student section, I remember the years at A&M, we would stand the entire game. And you would yell the entire game. So if the opposing team had the ball, you never stopped yelling the entire time. Can you imagine 40 to 50,000 people just yelling the entire time? It was crazy. Or when throughout the game, we would do yells. And so we don't have cheerleaders, we have yell leaders. And they would give us hand signals. And we would pass those hand signals back all the way up to the triple deck. And then everybody would, in unison, would yell the same yell. And we'd yell those over our team and into the ears of the opponents. And it was amazing. It was incredible to witness that. But that's what A&M is known for. We're known for the 12th man. But I was thinking about this. When people talk about our church, or if people talk about the people of our church, what would they say about us? What would they say that Central Baptist Church is known for? And as your pastor, I'll tell you this. Here's one thing that I want our church to be known for. I want Central Baptist Church to be known as a praying people. I want our church to be known as people who go to the Lord in prayer. I want us to be a church that no matter what's going on in our lives, whether we're praising God in the middle of great times and blessings, or that we're in the middle of a storm, we're a church that goes to the Lord in prayer. We're a people that go and we rely on Him. We're a people that cast our burdens at the feet of Jesus, and we go to God in prayer. That's what I want our people, our church, to be known for. And you know, honestly, during this COVID crisis, we are in probably the most unique time in the life of our church. Maybe the most unprecedented time and the widely impactful time that impacts everybody in our church. This is the most unique time in probably the life of our church. And I have a question for us. What are we going to be known for? What is our church going to be known for? And what will we do? And I love how James, he gives us some advice. He kind of goes and says, I've got an example for you. And so he says, hey, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other. He's saying, hey, this is not something you're supposed to do by yourself, that we as a church are supposed to come together and pray for one another and be there for one another. And he says, let me give you an example. He says this, Elijah in verse 17 was a human as we are. He's talking about in 1 Kings chapter 17 and 18, he's talking about the Old Testament prophet Elijah. And he says, Elijah was a human just as we are. And yet when he prayed, listen to what happened. When he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, guess what happened? No rain fell for 3.5 years. That's incredible. And then here's what else happened. When he did pray again, the sky sent down rain and the earth began to yield its crops. You know what Elijah was known for? He was known for prayer. That's what he's known for. Man, he was a great man of God that prayed. And you know what? I think we as a church need to be known as a church that prays. And then we need to pray for a movement of God, because when God moves in our midst, incredible things can happen. And I've seen that, honestly, I've seen that happen a few times in my life where the Holy Spirit just descended on the people like a blanket that was heavy. You could totally feel and understand that God and know that He was there, His presence was there. I remember several long time ago when I was in high school, I was at Super Summer, it's kind of a youth camp, and we were in Abilene, Texas, and we were during the middle of worship, and there was about 600 of us in this auditorium, the sanctuary, and we were just singing. I mean, just going through a normal worship service. And This was a long time ago, but Chris Tomlin was the worship leader at this Super Summer, which is pretty cool. And so he is leading worship up there, and I can't tell you what happened, guys. It was just the most amazing thing. In the middle of our worship of God, of us praising God, in the middle of our earnest prayers, in unison together, the Holy Spirit showed up, and it was the most incredible thing and impactful thing in my life. I remember we ended up worshiping for almost 2 hours, just singing. And it was so crazy that Matt Chandler was the speaker of that week. And he came out up on stage and said, guys, I don't know what's going on. I have a message to give you. I have a sermon to deliver. But the Holy Spirit is here, and I don't want to mess that up. And so we're going to continue to worship And we began to just fall on our faces, and we were just singing the praises of the Lord, and we were praying, and it was just the most amazing thing. And I was thinking about this. I wonder how many people have been radically changed. Their lives have been radically changed because of that moment. I wonder how many students who grew up and they became pastors, became missionaries, became leaders in their church. They became great husbands and wives and business leaders because they were changed in that moment. And I think that's something we need to pray for. We need to pray that God would show up in our lives and there would be a great movement of God. Because you know what the result is? Changed lives. Result is changed lives when God shows up. When his people pray and earnestly seek him, things happen. God is moved by our prayers. And so here's a question for you. Another discussion question to have. It's this. Share a time when you've seen God move when believers pray together. So share a time when you've seen God move when believers pray together. And what did God do? What did he do? So y'all share that right now. All right, guys, so y'all come on back. We're going to finish up right now, and I just wanted to share one of my favorite verses is Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, and I love this verse because it talks about how important Scripture is in our lives, and I think every time we open up the Bible, every time we study it, it should move us to do something, and Hebrews 4, 12 says this, "For the Word of God is living and active, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword." What the Bible's saying is saying that it should cut deep in our spirit, in our soul. It should cut deep. Every time we open it, it should cut deep and it should move us to action. And so as a church, here's what I want us to do. Here's something that your staff, we've been praying about for a while now. We believe that God is calling us to do something together as a church. And so I want to introduce this to you right now. We're going to do a 1 week prayer emphasis and we're calling it Pray 7:14. Based off of 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. And so this is going to be a week-long prayer time, and we're going to give you all the things you need to be able to spend time, whether it's with your family or as individuals. We're going to give you everything you need to be able to spend the week in prayer. And if you would like to fast during this time as we seek after the Lord, we would invite you to do that in a safe way as well. But every day, we're asking you to spend time praying to the Lord. And we're going to give you all of the things that you need to be able to do that. And so on our main church website, you can go on there, you can click on the prayer event, and you can download everything you need to. There's individual sheets for every day, or you can just have one sheet that kind of walks you through all 7 days. But we're asking you to go through every single day and spend time praying. It's going to be online in different areas. If you want to go on our social media feeds, we'll be able to link those on there right now. But save those to your computer, save them to your phone, and share them with other people so that everybody can be a part of this. And that as an individual, as a family, we're asking you to commit to praying together every single day for the next 7 days and asking God to move. Because actually on Thursday is actually the National Day of Prayer. So this is a time when people all over the country are coming together. Churches around the country, around the world, are actually coming together to pray this week. And we're going to pray that God does some incredible things in our families, and individually. We're going to pray that God does some incredible things in our church and in our community, and that he would heal our land, and that God would move in a mighty way in the middle of this, that he would turn this tragedy, this crazy COVID-19 pandemic, he would turn that into something that we can glorify him through, that people's lives would be changed. And so we're challenging you to pray during this time. And in fact, we're going to do this together as a church. So every night at 7:14, crazy, weird time, so help you to remember that, at 7:14 p.m. every day for the next 7 days, and actually starting today, we're going to have a Facebook Live prayer time. And so I'm going to be on every day at 7:14. I want to encourage you to come on and join me. And some days it'll be just me. Some days it'll be other staff members or other church members. We're going to come together and we're going to pray live. And so you, if you want to, on the comment section, you can comment about any of your prayer requests, any things. You can share those, and we will actually spend some time praying for you. We won't take too long. It'll be about 30 minutes every evening, but we're going to be able to do that together as a church. In fact, we're going to start tonight. So tonight, I want to invite you at 7:14, get on Facebook and get on our Facebook live stream, and we can connect together and we can begin to pray. Because here's the deal. God wants us to pray. In the middle of the storms of our lives, in the middle of our hardships, God wants us to pray. In the middle of good times, God wants us to praise him. And so this week, I'm encouraging you, as a church, let's do this together. Let's go to the Lord and let's pray together and let's see what he'll do. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for the gift of prayer that we don't have to go through anyone else. We can go directly to the Father because of what Jesus Christ has done, that he has bridged the gap through his death on the cross, paying the penalty for our sins, and connecting us back with the Father. And so we thank you that we can come directly to you anytime we want, and we can come and pray to you. And God, we thank you for the power of prayer, that there is great power in our prayers. When we go to you earnestly, praying in your will, Lord, you hear our prayers and you answer them. You are faithful to us. And so God, as a church, we are coming to you right now. We're asking God that you would move in our midst. Though the next 7 days as a church, we would pray like we've never prayed before. And God, that you would move in our church, that you would heal us, that you would spiritually awaken us to the things of God. As we begin to plan and prepare to reopen as a church physically, I pray that you would give us wisdom and discernment, and that you would go before us and show us what we're supposed to do. And God, we pray for our country. We pray for the economy. We pray for the people that are sick. And Lord, we pray that you would move in our midst, and that you would do a mighty work. In the middle of all this, we have no control, but God, you have all the control. And so we're going to you right now, asking you to move as we pray. So God, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for James and what he has taught us over the last several weeks. And Lord, we pray that we'll be able to put those things into practice. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.